things that cannot separate us. Our lesson topic comes from a passage of scripture I used in my lesson last week. So if you'll turn to Romans chapter 8, we're going to concentrate on verses 35 through verse 38, where Paul writes or says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Here Paul lists 10 things that cannot and will not separate us from the love of Christ. And that's such an important part of our lesson to understand. It is such a true statement that none of these things can do that. The only thing that can do that is me, myself, and I. As you can see, I put that as Satan's Godhead. Me, myself, and I. And the thing is, they're just one person. It's not three different distinct beings like in the spiritual Godhead, where there's God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit, but just one being, one person. Me, myself, and I. So when Paul mentions these 10 things here, he said none of these things can separate us from the love of Christ. But you know, the bad part is that most people try to blame someone for their sin, or something for their sin. And yet the only person that they can blame for their sin is themselves. There's no one else to blame but yourself. Oh, there might be somebody else that might put a stumbling block in your way, and he'll have to answer to God for that. But you had the power, you had the authority, you had the right to go around the stumbling block. You can't blame that person either. So the only person I can blame for when I fall away from the gospel of Christ, or when I stray from the truth, is me. No one else can be blamed. Because as we studied in our adult class this morning, God gives us the strength, the courage, and the way of escape to get around all the things that would cause us to fall away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is only through our own weaknesses, our lack of love for Christ is the reason why that we would stumble. I would like for you to now turn with me now to Paul's letter that he writes to the elders at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 3. And I want us to notice here, beginning at verse 14. He said, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his grace to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length, and depth, and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Look at the point that Paul makes here. To take and to comprehend in our minds the absolutely magnitude that God has. To perceive His excellence. To be filled with all the fullness of God. It is at our grasp. It is within us to be able to achieve this goal. The love of God toward us has been displayed for us on the cross of Christ. In Romans chapter 5, beginning here at verse 6, I want you to notice what Paul says in this part of his letter. For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Jesus Christ, willing to go to the cross on our behalf, was willing to suffer this death so that you and I can be reconciled to God. And if I'm not reconciled to God, I have no one to blame but myself. I can't blame my brothers. I can't blame my sister. I can't blame my mom and dad. I can't blame my friends. There's nobody to be held accountable for me not reconciling to God by obedience to Jesus Christ except myself. That's the one I have to blame. And then Ephesians chapter 2. And I want you to note what Paul had to say to the brethren or to the elders there in that letter in verses 1 through 3 when he said, "And you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in once you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as others." So look what he says here. This is where you once were, brethren. This is where you were at one time. You were children of wrath. Wow, that's something to think about, isn't it? But God made it possible through the blood of Jesus Christ that you didn't have to remain in that state. Man has no ability by himself to save himself. Without Christ, without the Word, without prayer, without God, we cannot be saved. We were ungodly in our lives before His death on the cross. We were sinners before God. And notice verses 11, 12, and 13 of chapter 2 of Ephesians here, where we're just at. And notice what Paul says here in this part of the passage. "Therefore, remember that you once were Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now, I want to stop there just for a moment. Look what he's telling the brethren there at Ephesus. Look what he's saying to them. He's saying, this is where you once were. Remember where you once were. Have you ever thought about where you once were? Oh, yeah. Isn't it a staggering thought? Isn't it something that when you think about where you once were, you are thankful that God kept you alive? Oh, yeah. But notice what Paul says to the brethren here. But now in Christ Jesus, verse 13, you who once were afar off have been made near by the blood of Jesus Christ. Wow. Wow. So listen to what he's saying here. If you have fallen away from the gospel of Jesus Christ, you can't blame anybody but yourself. Because God has given you everything you need to be a child of God. He's given everything you need to be saved. He has given you everything you need to go to heaven. It's entirely up to you. It's entirely on your own shoulders. That's something you've thought of. When he talked about we had the wrath of God upon us, I turned to Romans chapter 1. I use this passage a lot, and I really think it's a passage that people need to read it a lot and understand what he has to say here. But I'm just going to pick up at verse 18 right now, because he goes through all these things in this whole chapter. But he mentions, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. That's why I read Psalm 19, verses 1 through 6. Because what that does, that tells us and reminds us of who our Creator is and the power that our Creator has and what He offers to all mankind. And yet, if there's someone that will not obey the gospel of Christ, or someone that has fallen away and wants to stay in the fallen state, they are without excuse. They have no excuse. They have no one to blame but themselves. Oh, what a powerful statement that Paul makes to the brethren there at Rome. We were at one time enemies of God. James says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So when I go back and I think about where I was, when I remember where I was before my obedience to the gospel of Christ, it is a reminder to me that I don't want to ever go there again. I want to live a faithful life. I want to have heaven as my eternal dwelling place. The death of Jesus, his resurrection from the dead. The first point on your outline, we are justified by his blood. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. I would like for you to turn to Colossians just for a moment, if you would, please. To Colossians chapter 2. And I would like for you to consider what Paul wrote to the brethren here at Colossae by looking at verses 9 and verse 10. Actually, I want to back up to verse 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy or empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Now, I want to stop there just for a moment. I think of someone, when someone cheats me of something, it makes me very angry. And I think of the fact that through philosophy, through empty deceit, some people are being cheated. They believe in a religion that does not belong to God or Christ. They follow that type of a religion, and they believe that that religion is right. They believe that what they're doing is right, even though they have no authority for it whatsoever from the Scriptures. And so they go to their grave believing in a false doctrine. They've been cheated. They've been cheated. But they can only blame themselves, because there's no one stopping you from knowing more about God except yourself. Everybody wants to make excuses, and the excuses they make is, I don't have time to sit down and read and study it. Oh, wow. Let me tell you about being able to sit down and read and study when you're babysitting two little ones at 70 years old. Let me tell you about sitting down and reading and studying. It's the most important thing you can do. If you don't get but 5 minutes to sit down and read a passage of Scripture, sit down and read a passage of Scripture. You don't have to do it all at one time. Just whenever you get the opportunity. When you ever get the opportunity to read a spiritual lesson or spiritual article that was given to you to read, sit down and read it. Take that time. I have learned that nap time is great. But I've also learned that when I take them outside to play, that is great also. You don't have to watch them as much. Get dirty. Play in the sand. Whatever you want to do. You know, just play hard. Because I want you to sleep good tonight. Yeah, it's so important. Now I want you to notice verse 9. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Do you hear what he's saying here? In Jesus dwells all the Godhead. Wow. And you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. Wow. You know, God wants you to be saved. He wants you to go to heaven. He's not saving heaven just for a chosen few that He handpicks. Heaven is for a people that is prepared to go there, that have worked to go there. And it's so important that we are that people if we want to go to heaven. We are saved from the wrath through Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5, 9. We are reconciled, as we read just a moment ago in Romans chapter 5, and verse 10. Reconciliation, the restoration of the favor of God to sinners, Thayer says. We are saved by His life. Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 16. Do you see the point here about Satan's Godhead? Do you see the person that is actually keeping you from going to heaven if you choose not to obey? No one else in this room but yourself. There is no principality out there that's keeping you from being saved. Death's not even keeping you from being saved. If only you would be willing to obey the gospel of Christ and be willing to serve Him. He is willing to give you eternal life. And our response of this faith? Oh, we should be rejoicing. Romans chapter 5, another passage there in Paul's letter that he writes to the brethren, or that he dictates to the brethren at Rome. Verses 1 and 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Wow. Do you know, that is a wonderful statement that Paul makes there in this passage of Scripture, as he is inspired to write this by the Holy Spirit? Notice what he's saying. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh. You know, I hope in my lifetime I have made peace with anyone who has had anything against me. But here what Paul is talking about is, you have peace with God through Jesus Christ. So if you're not willing to be baptized, if you're not willing to come in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ, you're not going to have that peace with God. You're going to be His enemy. I would not want to leave this world being an enemy of God. That's so important that we understand that we can have peace with God. As we turn our Bibles again, we talk about this peace to Ephesians chapter 3 there, and we pick up our reading there as we have already read, or chapter 2 rather, verses 13 start. But now in Christ Jesus, who once were afar off, have been made near by the blood of Christ, for He Himself is our peace, who has both won and has broken down the middle wall of division between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity that is in the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in Himself one new man from two, thus making peace, and that He might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And He came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Look at the point that Paul is making here to the brethren at Ephesus. Look at what he's saying to them. That it's through Jesus Christ that you have access to God. If you're not in Christ, if you've not been obedient to the gospel of Christ, you came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Look at the point that Paul is making here to the brethren at Ephesus. Look at what he's saying to them. That it's through Jesus Christ that you have access to God. If you're not in Christ, if you've not been obedient to the gospel of Christ, you have no access to God. Whoa. What a terrible place to be in when we leave this world. We have access by faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. We have the hope of glory. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. A hope. A hope of eternal life. A hope of heaven. It's yours. All you've got to do is convince this one person here that that's what you want. That I want to have that peace. I want to have that hope. I want heaven as my eternal dwelling place. That's all you've got to do is convince that one person, me, myself, and I, that that's what I want. And it's entirely up to you. It is given by God to anyone who desires it. The love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Spirit of God through the gospel that He has given us. In Paul's letter that he wrote to the brethren there at Rome at the very beginning of that letter, Romans chapter 1, I want you to notice verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So I ask you this morning in our lesson, I ask you truly, which Godhead is it that you want to serve? And it's up to you. It's up to you. The Hebrew writer makes this statement, Hebrews chapter 12, as we read this passage and bring our lesson to a close. He says, but you have come to the Mount of Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven to God and the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. You see, Abel's blood cried for vengeance. Christ's blood cried for mercy. See that you do not refuse him who speaks, for if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of the things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wow. Look at what our Heavenly Father has done. He said, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. God is not a respecter of persons. He has a plan. And he has laid out that plan. And if you're willing to accept that plan, and you're willing to be faithful unto death, you will have the opportunity to spend eternity with the Father above. If you're here this morning, and you've never been obedient to the gospel of Christ, we encourage you. We plead with you to come forward. Confess that Jesus is the Son of God and be buried in the water of grave of baptism. If you're here this morning and you've fallen away from the gospel of Christ, we encourage you to come and ask for forgiveness. You see, a Father is giving you every opportunity to be saved. Why not do it as together we stand and sing the song of invitation?